Welcome to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our new listeners to the show and let you know what you're in for. Common Sense Preparedness was designed to give the American public the much-needed information on how to manage and respond to any type of disaster we might face, natural, man-made, or personal. We will not tell you who to vote for or when the world is going to end, but we will get you ready to face that if it does happen. We will talk about first aid, CPR, tornadoes, earthquakes, how to prepare a family emergency plan, how to develop an emergency communication plan, how to hunt, how to fish, how to make a fire. This show will be hosted by myself, Tim Howard, and various guests from around the world who will share their information and their experiences with us. My credentials? They're pretty extensive, with over 25 years field experience as a chemical biological warfare instructor, a firefighter, an area safety manager, a safety inspector. I have been associated with various federal, state, and local governments. Currently, I'm associated with the FEMA think tank, OSHA field councils, and I am your host for the show. Before we go any further, any information that you hear on this program or find on hesafety.org or the radio website at csp.hesafety.org is to be taken as informational only. We are not legal or medical advisors. We are here to get you to think about things and get you to do your own research. Talk with your professional legal and medical advisors. Because in the end, it's all common sense anyway, which you have. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to the show. Common Sense Preparedness website, csp.hesafety.org, has been designed to give you more information about subjects than we can give you in a single broadcast. The website is free, so come on by and begin your research with Common Sense Preparedness. You can also listen or download previous shows via the website. I do ask you to sign up, though. Reason being, it's just so I can judge how well the show is doing. Also, please, show some love to our sponsors. They're the ones that keep the show and the websites free of charge. At the end of the day, it all comes down to this: how many lives we save. It is sad to hear of any life being lost when it was avoidable. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune into Common Sense Preparedness at csp.hesafety.org.
Welcome to Common Sense Preparedness. With your host, Mike and Bob, Tim Howard.
Welcome to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness Weekly Situation Report for the week of March 25th, 2012. Let's get into our environmental report. Our U.S. radiation monitor network looks normal. Highest background radiations are being reported in Philadelphia, Seattle, and Tennessee. Our U.S. river report is showing some flooding in the New Orleans area. And our air quality, Pittsburgh area is showing higher than normal levels of poor air quality. Our drought report, Texas and Georgia are still reporting extreme drought conditions. Just a reminder, as the warmth of the weather increases, the risk of wildfires will increase also in these areas. Now our food safety report, Southside Market and Barbecue original beef sausage is being recalled due to listeria concerns. Days and Farms of Burlington, Washington, products are being recalled due to insanitary processing conditions and a high risk of salmonella infection. El Rancho Francisco fresh cheese is being recalled due to listeria possibilities. And this week came out pink slime. All fast food hamburgers, no matter what restaurant chain you go to, most fast food restaurants use a substance called pink slime in making their hamburgers. Now, pink slime is treated with ammonia, so indirectly you are getting ammonia in your hamburgers. Common Sense Preparedness would like to remind you, food safety is up to you. Cook your food to over 140 degrees and keep your food under 40 degrees when it's in the refrigerator. Also, when dining out, check the restaurant's last inspections, which can be obtained from the local Board of Health, csp.htsafety.org has links posted on its site to all health departments in your local area. Now, our medical report, we have an outbreak update of whooping cough, pertussis, North Carolina, Missouri, Pennsylvania, Iowa, Washington. The problem here is those that are being reported as coming down with the sickness have been inoculated already. So obviously the vaccinations are not working on these particular people. Now, whether this be because of their metabolism or what, however, we need to be on the lookout for indications of whooping cough and have home isolation procedures prepared in case one of our family members come down with it. Our influenza report still remains low in the U.S. The influenza rate is currently at 2.4%, an increase from 1.9%. The national baseline is 2.4 for this time of year. Four states are reporting high levels of flu activity. Common Sense Preparedness would like to remind you the best way to prevent the flu is to wash your hands as often as possible. Check out our website for more information on flu prevention and treatment. Our seismic report. There has been 7,324 recordable seismic events in the past 30 days. This week's topper was a 7.4 in Mexico. Our New England region had nothing to report. Mid-Atlantic region, South Carolina, had a 2.3. The Caribbean region, British Virgin Islands, had a 3.8. The Midwest region, Tennessee, had a 2.2. The Yellowstone region, Wyoming, coming in with a 2.1. The Rocky Mountain region, Utah and Nevada, both had 2.3s. Northwest Oregon had a 3.7. And the Ring of Fire region, California, had a 4.2. Alaska, 4.6. And Hawaii, a 3.7. So as you can see, everywhere in the United States is being shook up with the seismic problems. Preparedness for earthquakes should be in everyone's family emergency plan. Now, our solar weather, our x-ray levels are at a C6, which came down from an X5 of last week. Our K-index is quiet at 3. X-class flare possibilities at 1%. And geomagnetic storm chances are at 15%. Now, for near-Earth objects or NEOs, there's 1,287 in the area. April 1st, NEO 2012 EG5 should come within 0.6 lunar distance of Earth with a size of 62 meters. That one was something we might want to pay attention to real close. A 0.6 lunar distance is not easy to get knocked off course. April 19th, NEO 2007 HV4 should come within 4.8 lunar distance of Earth, weighing in at 8 meters. On May 19th, NEO 2010 KK37 should come within 2.3 lunar distance of Earth with a size of 31 meters. Well, that about does it for this week's Common Sense Preparedness Situation Report. If you'd like more information on any of the subject matters in this report, you can find it on csp.hesafety.org. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in or download Common Sense Preparedness Radio Talk Show. And follow us at the web at csp.hesafety.org. You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness American Readiness Program right here on bbsradio.com. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time. Providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America has known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
I got a chance the other day to take a look at the 7-day, 2-person emergency kit from Health Operations Team. This kit is a great basic starter kit. While it does not contain all the emergency supplies that you'll need during a prolonged disaster, it has enough supplies to ensure that you will survive any 7-day disaster. That's why it's called a basic starter kit. The first thing I noticed was the versatility of the bag. It can be used as a backpack, carried by the handle, by the shoulder strap. It even has wheels on it, so if you need to roll it, you can. The food package and water supplies make the kit kind of heavy, but these are basic requirements, and there's no way of getting around this weight. That's one of the reasons physical conditioning is a requirement in any kind of preparedness plan. Now, everything in the kit is stored in plastic Ziploc bags for weatherproofing protection. First idea I got in my head was, it showed me that I can use it, this weatherproofing idea, for other items. I mean, even a radio came in a plastic bag. The kit comes with a standard first aid kit, hygiene products, rain ponchos, light sticks, rope, and even a pry bar, just to name a few items in the bag. So it has a lot of equipment in there that you do need, some basic equipment. You're going to want to modify it to your family's needs. If your family needs medication, you may want to put the family medication in there, extra eyeglasses and such. Health Operations Team has a complete listing of all the items contained in the kit on their website at hoteam.org. Now, the price on the kit is unbeatable, $130, while all other outlets charge a minimum of $199-$200 for similar kits. Health Operations Team is offering these kits at cost with zero profit margin. What a deal. But what I want to remind you is Health Operations is a non-profit organization. If you can show them any kind of love, please do so. Even if it's a dollar, they need the help. They need the money. So they can go ahead and give these kits to people who are in need, who really need them. Now, some of the items in the kit that I would recommend to change, one would be the radio and the flashlight. Both of them are items that use batteries to operate with. I would exchange them for solar hand-cranked items. I mean, there's no reason to carry the extra weight of the batteries. There's nowhere to recharge them or anything like that. They're good for the home cache, but if you have to use it as a bug-out bag, I'd make sure I'd have solar equipment with me. Now, the coloring book and crayons, that's another thing I'd probably be changing. Now, if you have a kid that's less than 5, it's a great distraction for them. For the older kids, this is where we want to customize the bag for ourselves. We have older kids, we want to put some other stuff in there. However, it does have a deck of cards for adult distractions. Both the food packs and the water packs are edible, trust me. Now, granted, I'm a very picky eater. It's not my preferred food of choice, but in an emergency, well, I know I can eat them and get my calories that I need. They are edible. Overall, I was pleased with the starter kit. The price was great, and they'll get you through any type of emergency. So I'm recommending that if you need a kit, contact hoteam.org, and they will be able to get you one. Now, they have a special price program available for disadvantaged and the elderly. So when you talk to them, let them know what you're doing and who you are, and that you heard it on the radio show, and see if you qualify for a discounted program. But even if you don't qualify, it's still a bargain at $130. So contact Health Operations Team at www.hoteam.org. Or you can call their Georgia phone number at 678-431-8914. Once again, that number is 678-431-8914. You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program, right here on BBSRadio.com. Members have been asking me, and I've lost count on how many emails I've received asking the same question of why prepare? Why do we need to prepare for ourselves? Why prepare when the government's just going to come in and take it from us anyway and place us in the FEMA camps? What you got to understand is the internet, TV, and reality shows all promote paranoia. And they do this in order to sell something. Now, whether it's a piece of equipment, an idea, or a belief system, they're trying to sell you something by getting you scared. You must use your common sense here. Please don't believe anything you hear or read on the internet. This will make you believe we live in a totalitarian society as portrayed in the Orwell's book of 1984. I mean, think about it. There's a story out there right now that NASA is monitoring this person's website and attacking him by placing inappropriate comments on his website and forums. Come on, the NSA? The NSA's main focus is foreign interests, not domestic. Plus, I think the NSA has more important things to do than monitor an American website. I mean, with all the Taliban and radical Islamics out there, could the NSA justify spending time and resources on one American website? Now, don't get me wrong, maybe the FBI or DHS, but NSA? They also go and claim that they see the IP address that were investigated all lead back to a military base, so it must be NSA, as the rhetoric goes. Think about it for a second. Could it be that you have a federal employee or a military member who does not like what you have to say? They're placing these things on your website just to bug you? Yeah, that sounds more of a possible theory there. But the NSA, doing this on purpose? I highly doubt it. However, if the words NSA and monitoring is used in conjunction in the prepper community, well, then the sheep and zombies will perk up and take notice. Sheep and zombies, it's a code word they use to describe the mindless people of America who do not think for themselves and just follow what they're fed to them. They really have a high regard to the American listening public. Is the government monitoring us? Of course. Domestic terrorism is a very high threat. Just look at the Fort Hood shooting. I mean, when you sign up to do an internet broadcast, you can assume you're signing up for this. The government's going to monitor you, so watch what you say. But when the paranoia sets in, and the statement of they're watching me and you, and we must prepare for the end, come on, folks. That's an old saying. It's been going on since the 1800s. If you don't want the federal government to monitor you, then stop the stupid talk. The government is the enemy talk. The FEMA camps are coming. You know, stuff like that. This government is for the people, by the people. Don't believe that? Then answer this question. How do we elect all the Tea Party members into Congress? When the government suspends our Bill of Rights or disbands Congress, then, that is when they become the enemy, but not until. The government won't do that. Why? Well, because they know the same thing the Japanese did in 1941. Behind every blade of grass, there'd be a very angry American who is armed. Until then, we have a choice on who we elect to lead us. And don't let them fool you into thinking we don't. One thing that gets me every time I hear some craziness on the web about the government takeover or FEMA camps. You know, I feel that we're doing more harm than good. We're not following the examples that were sent down to us. Through all this fear-selling tactics done by so-called patriots, they increase people's fears but offer no viable solutions except some type of product, idea, or belief system. Remember what Jefferson A true American patriot said, "When the government fears the people, we have democracy. But when people fear the government, then we have slavery." So all we're doing here is we're promoting slavery, basically. Now, what the prepper movement needs to do is get into and understand political process, the American political way. Make a change. Vote for who you have done your research on and your common sense says is the right person. But you won't hear that from them, because if that happens, then the biggest enemy is gone, and they will not be able to sell their products, ideas, or belief systems. Trust me, I've been around the government most of my life, and there are two things that government officials fear. One, being bad press, and two, an educated and well-informed voter. At that point, they know they can't win. Their BS comes back to haunt them. Look at Herman. Bad press? There he goes. And the list goes on and on. I mean, we could spend an hour just naming people. Bad press and a well-educated and well-informed voter can't stand them. That's what we must become. The old adage of, believe nothing of what you hear and only half of what you see? Well, that would be some good advice when you come to deal with the internet. And to be honest with you, I don't even want you to believe me. Take what I say to you with a grain of salt. I mean, I can be wrong. Just ask my wife. I'm always wrong. Honestly, take what I say and investigate it. Research and educate yourself on the subject matter. I'm only here to give you important information that I feel that you need to research. I'm not here to tell you that you must follow everything I say or you're going to die. I'm just trying to give you ideas on things to research. I talk about things that I think we all need to know about. And maybe I give you a good insight. The best advice I can ever give you is read everything you can on the subject matter. And when you apply your own common sense to what you've just read, you'll find the truth somewhere. So to answer the question, why should we prepare? Well, we should prepare for any black swan event or emergency. Emergency preparedness planning is nothing more than realizing something could happen that would put us in an emergency situation, and with that in mind, taking steps to increase our chances of survival. Thus, emergency planning means preparation. Since the beginning of the 21st century, we have experienced terrorist acts, natural disasters, conventional biological chemical warfare, man-made disasters, and pandemics. In today's world, we must depend on our own supplies and our own knowledge to protect our family, not the government. In a time of crisis, the government will either be overwhelmed or incompetent to protect you. Just look at Katrina. You must be prepared to survive on your own for at least the first 7 days during any emergency situation. In the old days, before 1940, let's say, I believe it's 1940, everyone knew how to rely on themselves. They didn't rely on the government. They were all survivalists or preppers. So what really is a prepper or a survivalist? Well, they're an optimist. He who fails to prepare for the night fails to prepare for the dawn. By nature, a survivalist slash prepper is an optimist. A fireman is a fireman not because he believes everything will burn, but because he believes much of it can be saved. Doctors don't believe in death, they believe in life. And a prepper is not a prepper because he believes everything must be destroyed and everyone must die. He believes that life and freedom can be saved if we are prepared. A fireman does not start the fires, a doctor does not make disease, and a prepper does not make a disaster. Crime, disease, war, fire, flood, periodic financial collapse, and famine are results of nature and the nature of man, and unfortunately are not within our powers of anyone to prevent that. As we all know, the sun will set it each day, leaving us in darkness. And we all know that warm summers will give way to cold winters, and that we can't do anything to keep the sun from setting, or the cold winds from coming. Does that make us pessimists? So then why is preppers called a pessimist when they make ready to face events that are just as much as part of history and nature as the setting of the sun and the changing of the seasons. Emergency preparedness should be regarded as a social obligation, one that everyone owes to their family, his community, and their nation. So the reality is that preppers are optimists, self-reliant individuals who cannot help but see the importance of preparing for the worst possible events, while hoping sincerely that they won't happen. Today's preppers is an asset to his community and to the world, and should be proud to be a 21st century prepper. Remember, there are three main steps to immediately take. Make a plan, build a kit, and be informed. That is your basics of being a prepper. You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program, right here on bbsradio.com. Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons from PatriotMusic.com. I'm proud to announce the release of a new CD of original rock that celebrates individual liberty and the principles that made our republic great. Come give a listen to the award-winning music. There are free videos, radio, TV, and podcast interviews, and an album cover I promise you'll be thinking about for years. And don't forget to check out the Take Action section where you can share your ideas on how to put America back on track. PatriotMusic.com.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
Now here's the newest song from Matt Fitzgibbons at PatriotMusic.com.
Out in the woods, west of Pittsburgh is home. Since my granddaddy's days, it left us alone. We lived on the river where we made panther's breath till the marshal brought death. We had fought for your freedom from here to the east. We cleaned out the Tories till the land was at peace. And we picked off the redcoats with our frontiersman aim. Then the taxman came. The Federalists said that they paid for the war. Tax on corn whiskey was still from us poor. That we needed some master to keep us in awe. So they declared martial law. We farmers decided we'd stick together. So we covered some tax men with tar and with feathers. General Washington headed the army again with 13,000 men. while the gallows are built. And it seems that my country is feeling some guilt. They say we've been pardoned, now their point has been made. But you should be afraid.
Talk a little bit about emergency planning. I know we've been talking about family emergency plans and family emergency communication plans and such, but what is emergency planning? Well, emergency planning is nothing more than realizing something could happen that would put you into an emergency situation, and with that in mind, taking steps to increase your chances of surviving any black swan event. Thus, emergency planning means preparation. Preparation means having emergency items and knowing how to use them. People who live in snowy regions prepare their vehicles for poor road conditions. They put snow tires on their vehicles, extra weight in the back of the trunk for traction, and they carry a shovel, salt, and a blanket. Another example of preparation is finding the emergency exit on an aircraft when you board it. Preparation can also mean knowing the intended route of travel and familiarizing yourself with that area. Finally, emergency planning is essential. Now, just how important is planning? Well, detailed prior planning is essential in any black swan event. Including survival consideration in planning will enhance your chances of survival when an emergency occurs. Even the smallest emergency kit, if properly prepared, is invaluable when you face a survival problem. Where will you and your family be when the black swan event happens? Work, school, home, traveling? Will you know what to do and where to go? So before we do any type of emergency plan, we gotta sit down and we gotta look at things. Prior to developing an emergency plan, there are several things you must research and consider. Find out what the possible threats in your local area are. On csphesafety.org. We have the following book to download. It's called FEMA 196. Now, a very good book. It goes from state to state and shows you what some of these emergencies are, some things to consider. Like, what's the extreme weather? Is there floods in your area? Dams? Natural disasters that happen in your history? Where's the closest nuclear power plant? Do you face hurricanes, tornadoes, wildfires, earthquakes? Now, after you've got those taken care of, you want to sit down and list out a terrorist target in your area. Say about 350 to 400 miles radius. In that 400 miles, what major sports stadiums are there? Major cities with populations over 1 million people? Military installations? What about industrial complexes? Major tourist spots? And here's a big one. Airports, flight paths, and approaches. They're targets. What about trains and railways? Now, once you've got those two lists taken care of, go ahead and find out how much money you have to spend on supplies. Trust me, you don't need to take out a second mortgage to get all the equipment that you need. But if you purchase at least one or two items per payday, and they can be small items, you'll be surprised at how fast things gather. Find out what your communication warning signals are, what they sound like, and what you're expected to do when you hear them. Also, you want to turn around and you want to take a look at your emergency plans for work, the schools your children attend, daycare, and other places where your family spends a lot of time. If you have animals, learn how to take care of them during any kind of black swan event. Animals and pets can be very useful during an emergency situation. Here's a tough one. Assess your abilities. Now, let's be honest. You must note your shortcomings now in order to develop a training program that will best benefit you and your family. You have to assess your abilities and know your shortcomings. Don't become a danger to your family. Because if you have shortcomings, now is the time to correct that. Assess your current household supplies. Take a look around your house. What does your family use during normal everyday life? What kind of meats do you cook? What's your dry food storage look like? Your refrigerated items, ketchup, mustard, garlic, etc. This will give you an idea of what your home cache should be looking like, food-wise. You know, if we have a blackout event, these are the things you're going to have on hand and be used immediately. And one last thing before you prepare your emergency response plan, create a list of people who will be in your group. Now, this list is usually narrowed down to just your family members in the immediate area. Now, this list will be short, and that's due to the fact that you're going to have to plan for and store supplies for each member of your group. So you don't want to invite the whole neighborhood. Now, when you put together your emergency response plan, your family emergency response plan, meet with your family and discuss what type of disasters could happen in your area and what to do. Discuss the steps of evacuation. How would you evacuate? When would you evacuate? Why would you evacuate? Choose a minimum of two places for your family members to meet. One outside your house if your members are home. Okay, we have a fire in the house. We're going to meet by a big tree across the street or by the mailboxes. And then one outside your neighborhood, 30 to 50 miles away. Now, this evacuation point is for in case there's a plane crash in your neighborhood or something's gone wrong with your neighborhood, gas leak or fire, wildfires. Where are you going to meet your family members together? Once that is complete, identify and plot out the evacuation route to the safe locations. Now, if you're going to do this, remember, when you travel on foot, calculate about a half a mile per hour or 10 miles per day. If you're driving by car, plan for 35 miles per hour or 350 miles per day. Once you have identified these evacuation routes, travel them every once in a while. Visit them. If you have these evacuation points, take a camping trip up there at least once every 3 years to see what the area is like and understand what area you're going to be at. Now, once you've done this, you want to take a look at your house for an emergency. Identify and locate your home utility shutoff connections. Locate the following: electrical fuse box and the electric meter. Now, the fuse box can be inside or outside your home. Usually, it's located inside your home. Now, the electrical meter, that's outside your home. That's where the main breakers are at. So, when you're shutting off utilities, you want to go to the electrical meter, where the main fuse box is, and shut off main power. Locate main gas lines. Where's the valve? Where's the shutoff place? Usually outside the house, just outside the property line. Same with the water main. Usually two places. One's inside the house and the other one's outside, so the city can read it. You can shut them off by either way. You're also going to want to teach your family members how to shut off the utility safely. What type of wrench do they need? Usually put the wrench next to the appliance, secure it somehow. What's the proper sequence to shut off your utilities? First should be electric, then gas, then water. Now, once you've done all of that, you want to take a look around your house. How safe is your house? And this is more for earthquakes, landslides, floods. Before any black swan event, you should inspect your home and eliminate any potential hazards. In an emergency, ordinary items in your home can cause injury and damage. Anything that can move, fall, break, or cause a fire is a potential hazard. Strap your gas appliances to the wall or floor, especially the water heater. Remember, your water heater is a large source of water and weighs several hundred pounds when full. A 400-pound water heater will break gas lines on its way to the floor. Gas appliances are real dangerous in an earthquake, and they are the cause of most fires after an earthquake. Go in your cellar and verify that your house is bolted down to its foundation. Repair defective electrical wiring and leaky gas connections. They are potential fire risk. Brace overhead light fixtures. Replace solid gas lines with flexible lines on appliances, stoves, water heaters, and dryers. Nail plywood on top of ceiling joists inside the attic to protect people from chimney bricks that could fall through the ceiling. Keep a flashlight or emergency light next to your breaker panel inside the house. Evaluate each room in your house. Ask yourself, what will fall on my head or what will keep me from getting out of here? Secure anything you find. Hang heavy objects such as pictures and mirrors away from beds, couches, or anywhere people sit. Fasten shelves securely to the wall and place large or heavy items on lower shelves. Store breakable items such as bottled food, glass, china in low, closed cabinets with latches. Store household chemicals on bottom shelves in a closed cabinet. Also, I don't know how many times I've seen this one. Don't store bleach and ammonia in the same cabinet. If they mix, then it is deadly. Now identify the best and worst place in your house to be at during an emergency. Remember, you might not have a choice of where you want to be located when a black swan event happens. The best places inside your house is under major beams that are secure from the rest of the structure or in strong doorways or inner structural walls. The worst places are in front of windows, near fireplaces and chimneys. Once you've got all this together, test your emergency plan and with all your family members present. Keep all trees and shrub limbs trimmed so they don't come in contact with wires around your house. Keep trees adjacent to the building free of dead and dying wood. Store combustibles or flammable materials in approved safety containers. And keep them away from the house if you can, in a garage. Also, you also want to make sure you purchase fire extinguishers for your home and smoke detectors for every level of your home and near sleeping areas. Now, another thing you want to do for your family emergency plan is to get to know your neighbors in your neighborhood. Learn local school policy regarding how children will be released from school. Locate the nearest police and fire stations, as well as the route to the nearest hospital emergency room. Develop an emergency map with that information located on it. You can keep that stored on your computer or keep a hard copy in your good bags. Also, you might want to note what expertise your neighbors have. Is there any law enforcement, any medical experience for people? In case of disaster or time of crisis, you might be able to rely on them for help. Also, get to know your family. Hold a home evacuation drill to test your emergency plans and your supplies with all members of family present. I'd say once a year. Teach your children how to get help from neighbors and 911. Keep photos. This is an important one. Keep photos of family members in your wallet or in your good bag in case they turn up missing. And also, teach every member of your household how to shut off utilities in a disaster. Now, if you're in your car and disaster strikes, and some things you want to prepare your car for, always keep the gas tank as full as possible. When it gets down to half a tank, refill it. You will thank yourself the first time you're stuck in a traffic jam in the dead of winter. You also want to think of your car's trunk as a big steel supply cabinet. Keep your supplies in the trunk along with other items like tools, jumper cables, and a spare tire. Even if you're at home when a disaster strikes, and your home is well stocked, you will still need supplies in your car. Your house might not be safe to enter or may catch fire after a disaster like an earthquake, and you might have to live out of your car. Also, your car is a good power source, 12-volt power source. Your car will be one of the most important resources after a disaster strikes. Keep it mechanically sound and pay close attention to the exhaust system. A leaking exhaust system can kill you. Replace your battery every 2 to 3 years. In an emergency, your car battery will need to run the radio and heater for extended periods of time. Now, let's go into your family emergency communication plan. What is it? Now, because of today's lifestyles, when a black swan event occurs, it is more likely you will not be around with your family. Kids will be in school, you'll be at work, wife might be shopping 20 miles away. So you need to develop a plan on how the family members will contact each other after a disaster occurs. Your point of contact. Now this point of contact should be away from your home, a minimum of 50 miles away. So if a local disaster strikes, will not be involved. This can be a person that everyone can contact by phone or text, email, after the event. Or you can use online resources that everyone can access, like bulletin boards or family websites with comment systems on it. Now, the means of communications. What we found out in the earthquake of D.C. was that the phone system went down very quickly because everybody was trying to make phone calls. Now, the best means of communications, and we're finding this out, is text messages. It's the preferred way to communicate after any type of black swan event. Website updates, like I said. And this should be used if text message is not available. You can access your website. Hey, I'm okay. I'm located here. I should be here at this point. And phone calls are a last resort. A common phone call takes up a large amount of bandwidth. And that will be already on an overloaded telephone system, which will go down real soon. Also, what type of information do you need to relay in your message? Well, who you are. Hey, this is your son. Hey, this is your daughter. This is daughter number one, whatever. I'm currently located at school. I'm currently located at grid number, whatever. What emergency gathering point are you headed to? I am headed home. I'm headed to emergency point A or point B. And then what's the estimated time of arrival, ETA, to the gathering point?
You're listening to HE Safety Common Sense Preparedness, an American Readiness Program, right here on bbsradio.com.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America has known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
I got a chance the other day to take a look at the 7-day, 2-person emergency kit from Health Operations Team. This kit is a great basic starter's kit. While it does not contain all the emergency supplies that you'll need during a prolonged disaster, it has enough supplies to ensure that you will survive any 7-day disaster. That's why it's called a basic starter kit. The first thing I noticed was the versatility of the bag. It can be used as a backpack, carried by the handle, by the shoulder strap. It even has wheels on it, so if you need to roll it, you can. The food package and water supplies make the kit kind of heavy, but these are basic requirements, and there's no way of getting around this weight. That's one of the reasons physical conditioning is a requirement in any kind of preparedness plan. Now, everything in the kit is stored in plastic Ziploc bags for weatherproofing protection. First idea I got in my head was, it showed me that I can use it, this weatherproofing idea, for other items. I mean, even a radio came in a plastic bag. The kit comes with a standard first aid kit, hygiene products, rain ponchos, light sticks, rope, and even a pry bar, just to name a few items in the bag. So it has a lot of equipment in there that you do need, some basic equipment. You're going to want to modify it to your family's needs. If your family needs medication, you're going to want to put the family medication in there, extra eyeglasses and such. Health operations team has a complete listing of all the items contained in the kit on their website at hoteam.org. Now, the price on the kit is unbeatable, $130, while all other outlets charge a minimum of $199-$200 for similar kits. Health operations team is offering these kits at cost with zero profit margin. What a deal. But what I want to remind you is Health Operations is a non-profit organization. If you can show them any kind of love, please do so. Even if it's a dollar, they need the help. They need the money. So they can go ahead and give these kits to people who are in need, who really need them. Now, some of the items in the kit that I would recommend to change, one would be the radio and the flashlight. Both of them are items that use batteries to operate with. I would exchange them for solar hand-cranked items. I mean, there's no reason to carry the extra weight of the batteries. There's nowhere to recharge them or anything like that. They're good for the home cache, but if you have to use it as a bug-out bag, I'd have solar equipment with me. Now, the coloring book and crayons, that's another thing I'd probably be changing. Now, if you have a kid that's less than 5, it's a great distraction for them. For the older kids, this is where we want to customize the bag for ourselves. We have older kids, we want to put some other stuff in there. However, it does have a deck of cards for adult distractions. Both the food packs and the water packs are edible, trust me. Now granted, I'm a very picky eater. It's not my preferred food of choice, but in an emergency, well, I know I can eat them and get my calories that I need. They are edible. Overall, I was pleased with the starter kit. The price was great, and it'll get you through any type of emergency. So I'm recommending that if you need a kit, contact hoteam.org, and they will be able to get you one. Now, they have a special price program available for disadvantaged and the elderly. So when you talk to them, let them know what you're doing and who you are, and that you heard it on the radio show, and see if you qualify for a discounted program. But even if you don't qualify, it's still a bargain at $130. So contact Health Operations Team at www.hoteam.org. Or you can call their Georgia phone number at 678-431-8914. Once again, that number is 678-431-8914.
You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program right here on bbsradio.com. Thank you for tuning in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program. You may be found at the web at csp.hesafety.org. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness.
Real 22. mistake if you are wrong. You say gun control is using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao, Amin, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. They teach the lessons to your daughters and sons, to fear the government that fears your guns. Now the new world order crew, well, they're making their demands. They don't feel safe if you are wrong. You say gun control is using both hands. Using both hands.